you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When a person is upright or they live by faith, or more specifically, young people, by the righteousness of God. A person that is upright lives by faith or by the righteousness of God. Words that are synonymous with being upright are just, righteous, Christian, saved. These are words that are synonymous with being upright. And it's important for us to understand that we need to be upright. We need to be righteous. How do I become righteous? Well, it's through Jesus. The Bible teaches that because of the righteousness of the second Adam, or Jesus, we can be made righteous or upright. When I repent or turn from my sin and make Jesus Lord and Savior, I'm upright. I'm righteous. And when I become righteous or upright, I must practice righteousness on a daily basis. How many are with me thus far? All right. Now, I want to add something to being upright, which is very important. It's important for upright folk to be hungry for the word. There's no way you can say you Christian or you a genuine Christian, born again, and you're not hungry for the word. Got to be hungry. Got to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Even when the word comes and it offends you or steps on your toes, you still got to want what God has for you. Do I have anybody in here like that? I just don't come to church just to come. I'm coming with an appetite. I'm coming hungry. I'm coming sitting on my seat with anticipation, wanting to be taught by the Lord. And again, even if the truth hurts, when you look in John, I'm not going to go there, but in John chapter number 6, young people, Jesus was teaching his disciples who were upright. And he had preached a hard message. And the Bible says those who were with him, they left him and did not walk with him anymore. All because he preached a hard word. So Jesus in the 66th verse turned to his own disciples and he said, "Will you depart from me too?" Peter, an upright man who spoke for the 12, he said, "Lord, where are we going to go? For you have the words of eternal life." Bottom line, Peter was saying, look, we hungry for the word. We got to have every drop of righteousness, even if it offends us. We got to have it. I got to have it. I may come to church one service and the message just ride my back all the way down to my toes, but you best believe I'm going to leave here and come back to the following service. I got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And Jesus said, young people, if you are or have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're blessed. You are a blessed individual. If you come to God's church, you don't play on the phone, but you sitting there and you receiving God's word, you are blessed. If you're taking heed to the word and you lead putting it into action, you are blessed. Am I right about it? And so I really want to impress upon you, it's important not just to be upright, but we need to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. I said we need to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And when I say the things of God, I'm talking about primarily the word. But even when it comes to you rendering your service to God, you need to be excited about what God has chosen you to do. You need to be excited about the word, but if God is choosing you to pastor like myself, I need to be excited about feeding God's people with knowledge and understanding. If God has chosen you to be an instrument player, you need to be excited and hungry to give God your service on the instrument. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. If all you do is bring folks an envelope or watch the door in God's house, you need to be excited about doing what God has chosen you to do. The days of young folk being excited just to play sports, just to go to work, just to make money, them days need to be over. We need to be excited for those things, but not more so than excited about the things of God. Am I right about it? That's how upright folk are. We are excited about the things of God. Jesus said it like this when he was 12 years old. I must be about my Father's business. Do I have any young adults and young folk in here like that? I don't play around when it comes to the things of God. I'm not perfect, I'm not flawless, but I'm excited about the word. You gonna find me on Sunday morning, even if I stayed up to watch the fight till 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm gonna roll over into God's house. I'm gonna make sure I'm on my post. I'm gonna make sure I'm excited and serving the Lord with gladness because I'm upright. Are y'all still with me? Yeah, upright folk are excited about the word and then excited about the things of God. If I'm Bible, shout, he Bible. All right, let's go a little bit further about being upright. I got to deal with it just a little bit more before I deal with what the text says here in Proverbs 12 and 6. I want to go a little bit further and give us some more truths about the upright. Okay, let's look at Psalm. Y'all with me this morning? Now, we started out rough. I need y'all to do better. Y'all with me? All right, Psalm 15. Let's go to Psalm 15. And again, we're looking at truths about the upright. Verse 2. This is so important. He or she who walks uprightly and works righteousness. Let's stop right there. He who walks uprightly and works what? Righteousness. Now, I said this earlier, but this verse backs me up. When you're upright, you work righteousness. Upright folk work righteousness. Our deeds line up with what we're saying. Okay? When I work righteousness, it says, young people, that I'm choosing to do what I learn at church. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so when I am upright, I'm choosing to do what I have heard proclaimed at church. It has to be an individual choice. Every single day, you have to choose to do what you're being taught. Even though you are at work, even though you are at school, even though in your family, you may be one of few that is upright. That is no excuse. You should still work righteousness. Well, why do you do what you do? Because I'm upright. Well, why don't you do this right here? Because I am upright. I'm upright. I'm choosing to do righteousness. And listen, young folk, whenever a person works or sows into righteousness, there's going to be a sure reward. Always have in your mindset, if I just do right by God, he gonna bless me. If I just do the right thing in the sight of my God, he is going to bless me. He gonna do right by me. We serve a God of justice. God is not just going to see you working what's right or doing the right thing and not take care of you. No, no, we serve a God that does right by his folk. If you know I'm talking right, somebody shout, he right about it. Yeah. And despite what we see, it's important to keep doing the right thing. Because sometimes, young people, when you serve God by faith, the scene or what you see is not always going to line up with what God's word says. You have to remember, I don't walk by sight, I walk by faith. So despite what I see and despite what I feel, I still need to do the right thing. Oh, is that real enough for you? Despite how I feel and despite what my peers are doing, I still need to do righteousness. Because your peers may not be upright. Your friends may not be Christian. But despite what they do, you still do the right thing. And sometimes, despite how you feel, you still need to choose to do the right thing. How many have been saved long enough to understand sometimes you're not going to feel like doing what's right? You're not going to feel like doing what you heard the preacher teach you. How many have lived long enough to understand that comes with being upright? Let me see those hands. Yeah, and I've got to be honest. Sometimes I have obeyed my flesh instead of obeying the spirit. But I've matured to the point to where I've learned that, look, no matter what I see and how I feel, I'm upright. I got to work righteousness. Even though it seemed like it ain't working, it's working. Even though it seemed like he don't hear me, I'm going to keep praying because he hears me. Even though it seems like he's ignoring me, I know he's paying attention to me because the Bible says his eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. So I got to keep working righteousness. Paul said it like this, don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes you get tired, but don't you throw in that towel. Don't you cast away your confidence. I'm talking to somebody who's been feeling like what you've been doing ain't gonna pay off. Look, you will reap if you faint not. You just gotta keep working righteousness. A good example, young people, is in Luke 5. I'm not gonna read the text, but I want you to take note. Man, what a wonderful story we have of Jesus preaching to the multitudes. Now, the night before, Peter had been out fishing and caught nothing. Peter went to the service. Matter of fact, he was using the boat that Jesus was teaching from. And after Jesus got through teaching, Peter heard the word. Jesus looked at Peter and said, look, I want you to go ahead and launch out into the deep for a great catch. Now, Peter, naturally speaking, he told the Lord, look, Lord, we've been out toiling all night and have caught nothing. But Peter didn't let what he saw move him. He said, nevertheless, at your word. So Peter obeyed what the Lord told him. Went out, cast out his net over the boat and got a great catch. So much so, the Bible says his nets were breaking and he had to call his friends or his business partners to help him bring in the fish. What do we learn from that, young folk? No matter what it looks like, just do what's being revealed. Just do what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Just do that and God is going to bless. I thought y'all would be more excited about that. When you work righteousness, it doesn't matter what you see. We just stay in line with God's written and revealed word. Y'all got that? All right, second truth. Let's go to Psalm 32. Again, we're looking at truths about being upright. The first one we saw, upright folk work righteousness. And we keep doing righteousness or the word of God despite what we go through. We're just continual. We're diligent. And we know that God is a rewarder of those that diligently what? Seek him. Okay? Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And let's look at verse number 11. Look at what the psalmist says about the upright. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Who? Y'all done backslid. Let's try again. No, y'all went back to how y'all was at the beginning of the service. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Who? You righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Second truth, which is just so timely about the attitude of the congregation this morning, is upright folk are glad in the Lord. Upright folk are glad in the Lord. Upright folk are known for being happy, on fire, responsive, excited, joyful. Something that the congregation is lacking on this morning. See, if you really upright, you're going to put all that to the side and you're going to give God the praise. You're going to be excited about the things of God. You're not going to come before a God that is a consuming fire and you in here dry, burnt up, and dead. No, you're going to come in here fervent. You're going to come in here excited. When the preachers say read along, you're going to be excited to read along. Now hold your claps. Y'all done missed it, didn't pass the test. When the praise team is rendering praise, you're going to be excited about rendering praise. Upright folk stay on fire. Upright folk don't turn down. Upright folk give God the praise. They're glad in the Lord. How can you say you are upright and won't even respond when the preacher asks you a question? How can you say you upright when it's time to clap and you give God a half-hearted clap? Don't you know how good God has been to you? Don't you think God deserves better than what you're putting on the table this morning? Don't you think God is worthy of hallelujahs? Don't you think God is worthy of a leap? Don't you believe and know that God is worthy to be praised? You be upright and be sluggish in the Lord. No, upright folk are glad. Woo, y'all ought to help me teach. Say, upright folk are glad. Yeah, they're glad to read the scripture, glad to praise the Lord. Glad, glad, happy. Look at somebody on your road and say, are you happy this morning? Now, when you look in the scripture, young folk, it's two places upright folks should be glad. Two specific places. That's why I'm a little ticked off on this morning. Psalm 101, 111 and verse 1. I will praise the Lord. Oh, God, how you gonna do it? With my whole heart. Now, where you gonna do it? In the assembly of the upright in the congregation. This is the right place to be glad. This is the place that has been set aside that the upright should be happy. It's in God's house. If it's any place upright folk should be joyful, it is in God's house. Isn't it a sad day when upright folk are more happy at a football field than in God's house? Isn't it a jacked up time you live in when upright folk are more happy to be on their cell phone going on the internet than in God's house? Isn't it jacked up when boyfriends are more excited to talk to their girlfriends, or girlfriends are more excited to talk to their boyfriends than when it is coming into God's house? It shouldn't be that way. Look at somebody say, it shouldn't be that way. No, in the assembly, there's other upright folk in here. Don't you know good and pleasant things happen when we get together on the same page and we're all happy, we're all giving God the praise? Somebody can get a healing. Somebody can get a rhema word. Somebody can get a miracle. I don't need you messing up the corporate blessing coming in here jacked up. We got to be happy as upright folk. We got to be upright, and we got to be happy about it. You think about it in the natural. If you've ever played sports and you get in the game and you want something else, sub, get that joker out. Get him out the game. He don't know how to act right. Who on the bench want to play? Who on the bench excited about getting in the game? And see, it's the same way in God's house. The Bible says if we don't praise him, he gonna get some rocks to praise him. I don't want to be replaced in God. I don't want to mess around and sprain my ankle and I can't leap the way I want to leap. I don't want to mess around and catch a cold and lose my voice and I can't sing the way I want to sing. I'm gonna be glad because God has blessed me to have my free moving limbs. God has blessed me to be able to turn. I'm upright. I'm going to give God the praise in the assembly. This ain't the place to come looking cute. Now, we do look cute. Oh, I'll be the first to say I put this together pretty good. But when it's time to come amongst the upright, we got to be glad about it, and we got to give God some praise. I know you got your makeup set right, but sometimes you may have to sweat it out. I know you just got from the barbershop or the beauty supply or salon, but sometimes you got to forget about that and come into the assembly and give God the praise. I don't want to see trendsetters sitting down no more. I want to see some trendsetters that's glad to be saved, that's glad to give God the praise. I don't care if a cute girl come in or a whole flock of them come in. Where the brothers that's going to give God the praise at the MSW. Hallelujah. This is the place. In the assembly. In the assembly. Y'all ought to help me say in the assembly. Yeah, in God's house. This is where we show God. We appreciate him. Never should the young folks section in the church be sitting down. You know, when we go to the big church sometime, the young folk got a section. That should be the most on fire spot in God's house. Am I right about it? We in the assembly. The Bible says, young people, God is enthroned in the praises of Israel or the upright. When God sees his young people giving him the praise, he comes down in the midst. And I've told you, whenever God shows up, he don't show up empty-handed. He coming with some direction. He coming with some healing. He coming with whatever it is that we are lacking in our life. If I'm talking Bible, say he Bible. Where is the place the upright need to be glad? In the assembly. But that's not the only place. The upright need to also be glad in adversity. Woo! In adversity. Challenges, hardships, trials. And when you look in scripture, young folk, young adults are not omitted from adversity. You're going to go through things. Matter of fact, some of you are going through things right now. Some of you are going through things physically. Coming in with a limp. You got adversity. Some of you are going through things in your family. You got some adversity. Some of you are going through things inwardly, things that you're battling. You're facing adversity. But just because we're going through adversity, young folk, that is not the moment we need to get mad at God. That is not the moment we need to pause the praise. No, it's in our adversity that we need to give God the glory. It's in our adversity that we need to praise God, letting him know that, Lord, I'm going through something, but Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing still what Romans 8:28 said. I'm young, but you're going to work this thing out together for my good. I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to allow my praise to arise in the midst of my adversity. Y'all write down Acts 16:25. When you read in Acts 16 and start around the 16th verse or so, you'll find out that Paul and Silas, they were upright. They were excited about preaching. They had just cast out a devil from this girl who was possessed by a demon. And you would think the community would be excited. But they didn't want them preaching in the name of Jesus, because when they were casting out that demon or that girl, it was costing her masters money. And so what they did was they took Paul and Silas, beat them, and threw them in prison. Now you would think they would have a good excuse. Dog, Lord, we up here living right, and here we are in prison. But the Bible says these upright men at midnight begin to pray and sing hymns unto God. A great example of facing adversity, but still glad about what they're going through. And see, that's how we need to be, young folk. No matter what you go through with a teacher at school, with your friends, in your body, at home, or what have you, we don't need to decrease the praise. We need to increase the praise. We need to raise that praise. Upright folk are glad in adversity. No matter what you go through, no matter what I go through, we don't need to shut it down. We need to turn it up. And see, this is an encouraging word for somebody right now. God is expecting you to just keep praising him. It may not be going the way you want it to go. It may not be happening on your timetable. But remember what James said. He said, count it all joy, knowing that what you're facing is just a trying of your faith. God is just allowing you to go through this thing, so go ahead and rejoice. Don't you think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, but instead rejoice. I'm looking for some folk in here that get in the revelation. I got to turn up my gladness. I got to turn up my praise. I got to go ahead and get my eyes off my situation and get my eyes on the word, because that's how I can be glad. Young folk, grown folk, whenever I get to looking at my situation, sometimes I don't see nothing to praise God about. But I have to remember, I'm upright. I don't live by what I see. I got to give God glory for what I don't see. Oh, that takes something. Am I right about it? I got to give God glory for his word and not for what I'm experiencing. I'm giving God glory for where I'm going and not for where I'm at. Oh, I better say that again. I'm giving God glory for where I'm going and not for where I'm at. I know I'm headed toward his promises. I know he's doing great things in my life. Even though this temporary state looks bad, I'm not going to get stuck on what I see. Woo, I'm going to be moved by what I don't see. Are y'all still with me, or have I lost y'all? Upright folk are glad in adversity. That's something to be encouraged about. And that's an opportunity for many of us just to say, Lord, forgive me. I repent, Lord. I repent, and I'm learning from Paul and Silas. So when you consider the teaching thus far, where are the two places the upright should be glad? In the assembly and what? In adversity. Now let's consider our primary verse. Lord have mercy. I done got excited. Y'all done got excited? Well, I've been excited. Notice what he says in our main verse. Of Proverbs 16, or Proverbs 12 and 6. Proverbs 12 and 6, he says about the upright. The mouth of the upright will do what? Deliver them. The mouth of the upright will what? Deliver them. So when it comes to the upright, I not only work righteousness, I'm not only glad in the Lord, but I have to watch my mouth. I got to watch how I'm talking. Upright folk are peculiar about the words that they respond to from others and the words that they say. The mouth of the upright will do what? Deliver them. Have you ever been guilty of saying the wrong thing as an upright person? Have you ever let slip from your mindset that death and life are in the power of the tongue? Upright folk, again, are peculiar about the words of their mouth. One thing that I really admire about all of you is your youth. I mean, I'm still young, but I just admire that you're being taught such doctrine at a young age that you have time on your side. If you can get this principle down right now as a teenager or as someone in your early or mid-20s, man, you're going to be so advanced for your age. If you can just learn about the mouth of the upright and apply what you learn. Lord have mercy. I wasn't 2021 until I started getting teaching like this. But look at how young you are right now. I admire that about y'all. But the key is you got to get it and you got to apply it right now. Amen. You got to get it and you got to apply it in your youth and watch how God causes you to be so advanced for a young man or a young woman. It happened for Daniel when you read Daniel chapter 1. When he was compared to the other people in Babylon and even other young people that were from Judah in his day and time, young folk, he was 10 times better. He was advanced for his young age. And that's what I admire as I study and pray and meditated upon today's message. I said, man, Lord, if they just get this now, oh my God, by the time they get my age or even half my age, they'll be so advanced. Upright folk watch their mouth. Look at somebody say, you got to watch your mouth. Woo, woo. Now, I want to deal with this from a way that you can understand it and put it into action. Y'all ready? I said, y'all ready? Okay. Now he says, the mouth of the upright delivers. Two mouths you need to be concerned with. If I'm going to be made free, if I'm going to prosper, that's what deliver means. If I'm going to experience salvation, I need to be concerned about the mouth of the upright. And on this morning, I want to talk about two mouths of the upright. Because we're looking at a proverb, right? Okay. How many mouths? Two mouths. Two mouths. The first one, let's go to Proverbs 2:6. If I can get this truth from this proverb down at my young age, boy, I'm going to be so advanced. Look at Proverbs 2:6. The first mouth is found in this verse. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come what? Knowledge and understanding. The first mouth that's going to give deliverance is the mouth of the Lord. The mouth of the Lord. Now, the mouth of the Lord here on earth is his prophets. The mouth of the Lord here on earth are his prophets. If you take heed to the mouth of the Lord, or God's prophet, and you believe his prophet, whatever he teaches according to the scripture, the Bible says that you're going to prosper. I got to have a hunger for whatever it is God gives his prophet. I got to make sure I'm listening and putting it into action. I got to make sure that my life is changing based upon what I'm being taught. I got to make sure what I'm being taught changes and affects my thinking, my talking, and my walking or my actions. The mouth of the Lord is his prophets. We hear from the mouth of the Lord every week. Every week. And so we got to make sure that we're heeding the mouth of the Lord more so than the mouth of a celebrity or the mouth of someone that you allow to entertain you on social media. No, our deliverance, according to this verse, is going to come from the mouth of the Lord. And the mouth of the Lord is his prophet. And what are the two things that come from the mouth of the Lord according to Proverbs 2:6? Knowledge and what? Understanding, which equates wisdom. God's prophet is going to give me what I need to know and what I need to understand. And if I practice that, deliverance is mine. I'm going to be protected. I'm going to prosper. God is going to bring me out when I go through trouble. All I need to do is believe his prophets. Woo, that's some good teaching. And my Bible. Yeah, the mouth of the Lord. Now, a few moments ago, I was setting up this point by saying how advantageous it is to be young and understand the power of the mouth of the Lord. Y'all remember that? I want to show it to you in scripture because I don't know if many of you have even heard of it or read it. There was this little girl who was from Israel who was taken captive or into slavery. And she was made to be an armor bearer or a servant of a woman who was married to a man named Nahum. Are y'all still with me? Nahum was a great military man. I mean, he was known for winning many victories. He was a part of the Syrian army. And so the thing with Nahum was he was a leper. He had ailment in his skin. One of the things that was wrong with his skin is that his skin was a different color. Are y'all still with me? So word had got to Naaman that he could be delivered from his leprosy. It was told to him by one of his servants, there's a prophet. And if you go see this prophet, the prophet will tell you what to do and you'll get your deliverance. And so Nahum, him being again a great man, he went to the prophet. He went to see the prophet, and when he got to where the prophet was, the prophet didn't even come see him. The prophet sent his word through his armor bearer. Boy, that's a lesson right there, but I'm not going to deal with it. And so the armor bearer told him, look, the man of God said, if you would just go dip 7 times in the Jordan, you'll be clean. So Nahum, this great man, he said, hey, ain't there some better waters than Jordan? This is a nasty water. Aren't there some better waters that I can go dip in? Surely I thought he would come out and tell me something better than that and tell me to go do this and do that. And he got angry. He got upset. But then in his midst was this little girl from Israel. And I want to show you what she said. Are y'all following the story? All right, let's go to 2 Kings. I told the story so we could avoid reading a whole bunch of scriptures. So let's go to 2 Kings 5. And notice what this girl said. 2 Kings 5:2. Y'all turn the music off. I can still hear the music playing. 2 Kings 5:2. And it reads, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. Did I say that? All right. She waited on Naaman's wife. Did I say that? Verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master, look at this, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. This young girl understood that there was power in the mouth of the Lord. A little girl understood, had to tell some grown folk, you just need to hear from God's prophet. If you just hear from God's prophet and do what he tells you to do, you're going to be delivered. You're going to be whole. You're going to be better. This came from a little girl from Israel. She was a faith walker. This little girl had been taught the power of the mouth of the upright. She knew that there was deliverance in God's prophets. Young folk, no matter where you find yourself in life, whether you stay in Carrollton, whether you move away, get married, start a business, you need to always remember, I need to hear from God's prophet. That's where my deliverance is. It's not in the government. It's not in your education. God has set it up that his secrets would be revealed through his prophets. You need to make it your business to be like this young girl. Have the mindset, if I can just hear from God, I have some direction. If I can just hear from God, my situation will get better. And not just hear it, but believe his prophet. Yeah. She came back and told Nahum later, when you read the whole chapter, remember he had a problem with going to the Jordan? She said, man, look, well, not like this, but she said, Nahum, if he would have told you to do something grand, you would have done it. He done told you to do something small. Just go wash 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be healed. She understood the importance of listening to a message, gathering instructions, and putting it into action. Why do you think God leads me to ask you, what did you learn today? What did you get from the message? Because as a young person, you need to understand the importance of listening to a message, getting instructions, and then applying it to your life. See, I don't want you to be like religious folk or some religious folk. They come to church just to say they came to church and they didn't get nothing. No. No, you come to God's house, even if you're a sinner, even if you're not saved, you still need to come and get some instruction and put it into action.
And the best instruction you're going to get as a sinner is repent, make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. How many see it in the text? The mouth of the Lord is who? I heard three folk. One, two, three. The mouth of the Lord is his prophets. His prophets are going to feed us with two things. What? Knowledge and what? I need to hear the message, get instruction, and do what? Put it into action. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. So the first mouth is God's prophet. Finally, Lord have mercy. Let's go to Job. Let's go to Job. As you turn to Job, man, you have to thank God. Lord, thank God I got a prophet. Thank God I got somebody that can feed me the word and help me to have knowledge and understanding. Lord, have mercy. All right, let's look at Job 33 and verse number 3. My words come from my upright heart. Boy, I need y'all to read that with me. Let's read it slow. Job says what? His words come from my upright heart. My lips utter what? Pure knowledge. Boy, Job is on fire with this verse. The second mouth is your mouth. It's wonderful to hear from the mouth of the Lord. But we also have to be concerned with our own mouth. Our own mouth. And sometimes our own mouth can get us in trouble. It takes discipline, young folk, to do what Job is saying here in this verse. And again, if you can start getting in the habit and mastering this at your age, man, you're going to be advanced. Now, see, this is bigger than what the world has been saying for the last few years. I speak it into the existence. And everybody be saying this but don't really understand. That's a God thing. God started with that. That's a biblical principle. When the earth was formed, it was void and without form, and darkness was everywhere. But what did God do? He spoke. And then things started happening. So don't be worldly and just say what you hear people in the world say. I'll speak it into existence. Now, look, they speaking things or saying they using their mouth, but ain't living that. We need to live right and talk right. Just don't talk right. No, live right and talk right. Is that good teaching? Your mouth. Now, look at what Job said. Now, y'all don't embarrass me now. Y'all answer these questions and read with me now. Where do Job's words come from? What kind of heart does Job have? Upright heart. Upright heart, Job said. My words, I talk out of an upright heart. Look at what he says. My lips utter what? Pure knowledge. Pure knowledge. Job, help us. My lips utter what? Pure knowledge. Pure knowledge, as I get ready to close, young folk, is basically the word of God. Pure knowledge. Proverbs 30 and 5 says, every word of God is pure. Job said, I speak the word. I speak the word out of an upright heart. Job done lost his children, business, money, health done declined, and his wife tripping. But the Bible said Job did not sin with his lips. He was still speaking word. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, he was facing adversity, but he was still speaking uprightly. And so we need to put the mirror on ourselves. When we face adversity, do we still talk right? When you and your spouse get to going through couples, are you on that dumb stuff? Well, I can't wait to divorce you. Talking dumb stuff. Just cursing your marriage. My lips utter pure knowledge. I'm going to stick to the word. I'm just going to speak the word. I'm going to speak life. And it takes discipline. How many, when you get to feeling a certain kind of way sometime, you just say stuff you know you ain't got no business saying? You ever been like me? Man, I take that back, Lord. I take that back. I didn't mean to say that. I take that back. Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be that astute, that keen. You got to pay that much attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because words have power. You can't amen a word at church and then go home and speak contrary to that word. Or shall I say, we shouldn't do that. Yeah, James said it like this. Blessings and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. But it do sometimes, don't it? The Lord is telling us, watch your mouth. Look at somebody on your rope. No, don't even look at nobody on your rope. Look at yourself and say, I got to watch my mouth. Yeah. What we speak out of our mouth needs to be word-based. What we speak, young folk, out of our mouth needs to be what? Word-based. Quit saying you can't. I can't. I can't do this. I can't. This is just me. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you allow Christ to strengthen you, your can't will turn into an I can. But you keep cursing yourself when you say, I can't. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. You can help yourself. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. This just me. This just me. But that you were supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be in Christ now. All things are supposed to be new. Quit saying this is just me. Be honest. That's the old me. That's just the old me rising up. Oh, I need to quit that. That's the old me. I'm ready to slap somebody. That's the old me. Ready to cuss somebody out. That's the old me. Ready to lie to somebody. That's the old me. I got to be renewed now. Gotta watch my mouth. Quit saying you struggling. I'm struggling right now. Why are you cursing yourself? I'm struggling right now. You know, I'm just the struggle is real. What? You're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. I'm broke. Quit cursing yourself. Quit saying you broke. I'm broke. Man, I'm short. You know, I'm coming up short. I'm going through. Quit cursing yourself with your own mouth. I'm sick. Oh, God. I'm sick. Don't say that. Let the weak say they're strong. We say, we believe, therefore we speak, is what Paul said. You're going to speak what you believe. I'm sick, but by his stripes, I am healed. Woo, I want a slapper, but Lord, you my very present help. Woo, I'm feeling some kind of way. I can't deny these feelings are real, but Lord, you told me I can put my flesh under subjection. What we say with our mouth should be Bible-based. Boy, this giving gonna pay off. Flip it and quit saying I've been giving and giving and nothing. Flip it. This giving gonna pay off. Woo! All God's tithe and offering I've been bringing to him, and then Minister Power get up and say that nations are gonna call me blessed. It's just a matter of time. All this sowing is going to pay. It's gonna pay off. It's gonna pay. My labor is not in. Lord, it hurts. it hurts. My friends laugh at me. My family talk about me. But I'm blessed because I'm being persecuted for your name's sake. This is going to pay. It's going to pay off. You got to watch your mouth. But then, young folk, you have to learn while you are young to call those things that be not as though they were. Throughout your week, young folk, you need to speak over yourself. Throughout the month, you need to prophesy to yourself. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I will graduate. I will have scholarships. God will bless me with my heart's desire because I delight myself in the Lord. You got to get in your car, young folk, and use your mouth aright. Sometimes you got to cut off YouTube. You got to get off Spotify. You got to turn off the radio. And sometimes just roll the window down. Let the cool breeze air come in your car and preach to yourself with your own mouth. Boy, God, you're going to bless me with this job. I didn't get the last job, but Lord, I'm speaking. You're going to give me my heart's desire. Deliverance is in the mouth of the upright. You got to learn how to speak to your mountain, young folk. The problems that you have in your life, don't you know Jesus said in Mark that if we have faith in him, we can speak to the mountain and the mountain would be removed. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, you will have. It starts with your mouth. Lord, I'm going to make it. Lord, I'm going to be better. Lord, my life is getting better. I speak to myself. Don't you know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? And if you get to believe in what you're speaking, it's going to start forming in your life. I'm going to pass this SAT. Lord, I heard it was tough. And I got to take it. I'm going to pass this ACT. Lord, you're going to help me. You know, Lord, I struggle with standardized tests. But, Lord, you're going to help me. You're going to make a way out of no way. If you gave Daniel wisdom, if you gave the Hebrew boys knowledge, Lord, you'll give it to me also. You got to speak over yourself. I will be a business owner. I will have houses and land. I may be making minimum wage right now, but Lord, I'm speaking it according to your word. I'm speaking it according to your word. Use your mouth. Mouth, deliverance is in the mouth of the upright. And one of the truths he was talking about is in your own mouth. It's in your own mouth. Tell somebody, say, it's in my mouth. That's right. Encourage us. You are cute. Yeah, you are cute. You're skinny, but you look good. Yeah, you're thick, but you look good. Yeah, you look good. You got to talk to yourself. You don't wait on somebody to compliment you. Look in the mirror. You know what? You are. You do look good. You're wearing that weight right. You look good. Yeah, you look good. Speak to yourself with your own mouth. Talk to your situation. Woo, spouses, you got to learn how to speak over your own spouse. Woo, you got to learn how to sanctify your own spouse. She going to get right. He going to get right. Lord, I cast all my cares on you. Deal with them while they sleep, Lord. Deal with them, Lord. And then they call you. I'm sorry. Hey, look, you gone. Deliverance is in your mouth. Are y'all getting this? When you look at in my clothes, when you look at the Hebrew boys and others, they were purposed. They told the king, we're not slow or quick to answer you in this matter. They knew the power of words. I got to give y'all one more verse. Lord have mercy. Let's go to Psalm 17. This will be it right here. This will be it. Psalm 17. You got to be strategic or purposed with your mouth as an upright person. Y'all still with me? All right. I know I got at least two people with me every week. I got little Scott and sometimes First Lady. It's a jokey joke. All right, Psalm 17 and verse 3. We're going to close with this one, okay? All right. Psalm 17 and 3. Look at what David said. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the what? In the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. Here it is. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. See, it takes purpose to use your mouth right. That's why I said every day you got to work on watching what comes out of your mouth. Because that's where our deliverance is. It takes purpose. I purposed in my mouth that I'm not going to sin. I purpose with my mouth I'm not going to talk contrary to God's word. I'm not going to say I'm broke. I'm not going to say I don't know what to do. When the Bible says I'm an heir and joint heir with Christ, and the Bible says if I acknowledge him in all my ways, he'll direct my path. I'm going to be purposed with what I say. And I'm sure enough not going to agree with somebody that's not talking Bible. Okay? So what are the two mouths that we learned about today? The mouth of the Lord, which is his what? His prophets. And the second mouth is what? Our mouth. When we use our mouth, what we speak needs to be pure knowledge or based upon the what? The word. But it's also going to take what? Purpose. It's going to take purpose. And just practice. Somebody asks you, how you doing? So you know what? All is well. All is well. All is well. Man, how you feeling? You look like you hurting. All is well. All is well. See, they're talking about what they can see. But you thinking, by his stripes, I'm healed. And see, that's you having purpose with your mouth. Purpose with your mouth. Your teacher said, it don't look like you're going to pass. Don't shake your head and say, oh, God. Don't agree with that. No, don't agree with that. You just speak by faith. Well, I hear what you're saying, but I believe it's going to work out for me. You got some extra credit? You know, you just, you speak. You're being purposed in what you say. How many understand that deliverance is in the mouth of the upright? By a show of hands. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the teaching.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.